Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, one of the big tech stories of the week was from the office of Apple. Tim Cook and co. took to the stage at WWDC, showcasing the next iteration of their software and just how big a role AI will play in it. Here is Apple's nifty little guide to Apple intelligence.
It's personal intelligence right where you need it, on your Mac, iPad, and iPhone. Writing tools are an example of the incredible power of Apple Intelligence. Say you're writing an email. You can change the tone to make it sound more friendly, professional, or concise. Another way writing tools can help you is with Proofread. With Proofread, you can nail the grammar, word choice, and sentence structure. And if you've rambled on in your email, bring out the key points and add them as a TLDR. Apple Intelligence is also great when it comes to images. Let's jump in with Genmoji. You want a T-Rex on a surfboard? You've got a T-Rex on a surfboard. Simply type a description of the emoji you want. How about a smiley face with cucumber eyes? Or something random like a squirrel DJ? And because Apple Intelligence knows who's in your photo library, you can turn your friend V into an astronaut. Next up, Image Playground. Create awesome images in seconds, like an image of a cat as a chef. Just type rooftop and any other descriptive words, and it generates the image in the middle playground area. Then choose a style, like animation, sketch, or illustration. And it's done. Apple Intelligence also understands who people are in your photo library, so you can create a personalized image of them for their birthday. Or your mom is a superhero. Image Wand can transform your rough sketch into a polished image. You can use Apple Pencil to circle it, and Image Wand analyzes your sketch and words and creates an image for you, like magic. Siri takes a huge step forward and is now supercharged by Apple Intelligence. And when you talk to Siri, you'll notice this elegant glowing light around the edge of your screen that shows Apple Intelligence working for you. With natural language, you can speak to Siri more naturally thanks to richer language understanding capabilities. So if you stumble over words, Siri still understands what you're getting at.
What's the weather tomorrow morning at Muir Beach? Muir Woods.
The forecast is calling for clear skies in the morning near Muir Woods National Monument.
Siri also remembers what you've just been talking about.
Create an event for a hike there tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hike is scheduled for 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on June 11th.
Next, personal context draws from your photos, calendar events, messages, and other apps. So let's say your mom is coming to visit. Simply ask,
Siri, when is mom's flight landing?
And Siri already knows who mom is and will cross-reference flight details from an email to give you an up-to-date arrival time. And if you've forgotten what plans you have, you can say,
what's our dinner plan?
And Siri knows you mean you and your mom and will find that information in a text she sent you. And if you don't want to ask Siri out loud, you can now type to Siri. Just a double tap at the bottom of the screen, and you can quickly and quietly type your Siri request. Because Apple Intelligence is personal, priority notifications show what's important to you by putting the most important ones at the top of the stack. Personal intelligence can also make you the star in your very own memory movie. It understands who's in your photo library, so you can just ask Photos to create a movie about Leo learning to fish. And it'll whip up a film starring Leo, water, fishing rods, and depending on how successful Leo was, a fish. So those are just a few of the ways Apple Intelligence can help you every day. It's super easy to use and gives you peace of mind knowing it's designed with privacy from the ground up. So that's Apple Intelligence, AI for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's the summary from Apple on the impact AI will have on their services going forward. As I said to Pat Kenny the other day, I think it's all very exciting. I think it shows proper innovation. And so many of the examples listed there are actually useful. Because, you know, obviously I've listened to an awful lot of conversations around AI. I've been involved in an awful lot of conversations around AI. And while the technology is undoubtedly impressive, I always come back to the point of, well, what does it do for me? And how do I ingrain it into my life? So as I said, those examples from Apple struck me as being very practical and something that anyone can engage with and utilise and benefit from, regardless of their perceived or self-confessed level of tech knowledge. But we also got an insight into iOS 18, which I have since downloaded and I'll talk about in just a sec. But here is a recap of the key features and the hot take of Marcus Brownlee.
iOS just got one of the biggest, or at least most interesting, updates in a long time. And I'm just going to, if you're an Android user, I'd say for the next like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just go ahead and unplug your keyboard for a second and just relax. Because yes, we've had these features for a long time, but now it's the iPhone's time to shine, all right? So officially, you will finally be able to put icons wherever you want on the iOS 18 home screen grid. And it was hilarious that this got a whole applause moment from the audience during the keynote, as if they just invented a new feature. But fine, you've been waiting for a long time for this. Have your fun. But they didn't stop there. They added a whole bunch of other customization features to the iPhone home screen too. And it started to get a little more interesting. See, there's this new theme engine now that lets you go in and change the color of every icon and widget on your home screen to the same color. So you can really, you can match your wallpaper with your icons to frame it nicely and have matching colors everywhere. It's a simple thing. And we've been doing it on Android with launchers for years. But the thing about these is, before this moment, basically every iPhone home screen looked the same. We've been saying that. They've just given you the ability to go crazy and kind of ruin your home screen if you want to. And people seem to absolutely want to. I have seen some rough home screens people are making on Twitter. A lot of them just look terrible. And I think the main thing I noticed is it seems like there are apps that support this whole colored thing well, and then there are apps that don't, that just looks like it tints the entire, it just literally applies a color cast to the entire icon on your home screen, which causes all kinds of legibility problems, doesn't look good. There are widgets that look horrible, that it's just unreadable. So yeah, you can make some pretty looking home screens if you want, but you can also make some really ugly looking home screens. And I was trying to decide if I like this more or less than what Google did on the Pixels with Material U. I think technically it's better because it works on all of the icons. I don't know how many setups I've tried where I wanted to do the monochrome icons, but there are just a few of my apps that aren't supported, so they end up looking kind of like they stick out like a sore thumb. So at least Apple's is letting you change all of the icons at once. But anyway, Apple's also redesigned the Control Center to be fully customizable across multiple pages. So again, there's a lot more going on here, and there are many more customizable shortcuts in more places, including finally replacing the flashlight and camera on the home screen without jailbreaking, finally. And the list keeps going, stop me if you've heard these before, but there are, you can do hidden apps now inside your app drawer, so you can lock apps into a hidden folder that makes it easier than ever to hide Tinder from your wife. There's also scheduled text messages and iMessage. Great. Finally, they're having some fun over there. There's also text formatting. There's messages via satellite. RCS support was very casually but briefly mentioned. The Photos app is redesigned. There's also a game mode that now minimizes background activity and minimizes Bluetooth latency for peripherals. Great. And a new automatic categorization in the new Mail app.
Yeah, that's Marcus Brownlee giving his take on iOS 18. And as I said, I downloaded the beta version the other day. It took around 9 minutes. My phone got super hot when I was doing it, but I instantly had a play. So superficial things like the customizing of the colors and the changing of the application is nice, but it's not really a game changer. It's kind of a gimmick, in my opinion. I loved the ability to hide apps in a secret folder, but I don't know what I would use it for. Beyond that, the look and feel is neater, but not dramatically different. A few people were asking me on Instagram if they should make the switch. And my honest answer is not yet. There's a few little niggles that aren't ideal. They'll definitely be ironed out, obviously, because that's the whole point of the beta version. But I would hold off for the moment unless you're impatient like me and you want to get it now. But yeah, I'd love to know what you think. Did you watch the launch? What do you reckon? Are you excited? Do you think that Apple is back at the top of its game in terms of innovation? You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll jump in to the mailbag.